Well, good morning, church. For those of you who I may not have met yet, my name is Brian Wiley. As Mike said, I am the key leader for adult discipleship here at Trinity, and I'm just so thrilled to be able to be up here this morning and to deliver the message today. Pastor Peter, as Theo noted last week, Pastor Peter is away this week. He is up at Pilgrim Pines, which is our conference camp in New Hampshire, and he is the guest speaker for Family Camp this week. So I'm actually a little jealous because Pilgrim Pines is amazing and wonderful. But if you think about it, please pray for Pastor Peter. He gets to speak this morning at the chapel and then every day this week, and then he gets to goof off for the rest of the day. But he's had a couple busy weeks, so please pray for him. And I just want to say, how many here were here last week? Theo's already left the room, but Theo's message was fantastic last week. And Gianna and Parker, you get like a gold star or something for being willing to get drug up onto the stage, right? And you didn't know what your dad was going to say, and they were fantastic. So with that, let's pray and bless the time that we're going to spend together this morning, and then we'll jump in. So let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at the beginning of Mark chapter 4. And this is typically called the parable of the sower. I really want to do three things with all of you today. I want to take a look at the text and what it says, of course, because that's important, really important. I want to tell some stories. Some of you have probably already figured out that I love stories. But Jesus loved stories too, so, you know, pretty good company. I think that's a good place to be. And this morning's message was inspired by a really cool story that I'm going to tell a little bit later in the message, so you can stay tuned for that. But I also want to let you all tell some stories to each other. I'm not going to drag anybody up onto a couch this morning, so you're welcome. But I will give you the opportunity to tell stories to one another as we go along here. So, here we go. We're going to start out, like I said, by looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And I'm going to read the passage. What I'm inviting all of you to do, as much as you can, is put yourself in the story. So this is Jesus preaching to the crowd. His disciples are with him. And so I want to encourage you to, you know, pretend you're not in the year 2024. Pretend that you don't actually have access to the whole New Testament, and that you're actually listening to Jesus say these words for the very first time. And so you can close your eyes if that helps, or you can just, you know, sit and let the words soak in. But the best you can, try to do that. And just to give a little bit of context, what's going on at this point in Mark is that Jesus has started his ministry, and in Mark chapter 3, he's been going around preaching, and he's starting to get a crowd together, and the crowd is getting so big that every time he goes to preach, he has to get in a boat and get offshore a little bit just so he doesn't get, you know, hemmed in by the crowds. And so he's done that in Mark chapter 3, and he's actually doing it again at the start of chapter 4. So the first word I'm going to say is again, and without that context, you're like, again what? Well, again, he's about to preach, and he's about to be in a boat. So that's where we're going, all right? So let's listen to God's word. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." This is the word of God. Okay, disciples of Jesus, you are all right there at the lakeshore listening to Jesus preach. Remember, we don't have the rest of the New Testament yet, right? We don't even have the rest of Mark chapter 4 yet, but we've just heard Jesus kind of give this odd teaching. What is he talking about? Well, let's see. He talked about farming. He told us that it's important to plant in good soil because if you scatter the seed on bad soil, it doesn't yield anything. But everybody already knows that. So I don't think he brought us here to teach us about farming. So this must be a parable. All right, great. So what does it mean? Jesus, we have a question. Right? That's probably how the disciples felt. And I just want to say, you know, can we cut some slack for the disciples? I know that it's really popular to talk about how they just didn't get it, and that's mostly true in a lot of cases. But they were following this rabbi, this Jesus, who kept saying and doing things that nobody else had ever done. And, you know, I don't think I could have done any better. So I'm going to give them this one, right? It's okay for them to go to Jesus after he's done with this parable and say, okay, what are you trying to tell me here? And I think Jesus knew that too. You know, in verses 10 to 13, the disciples ask, Jesus, what are you trying to get across here? And Jesus says to them, he says, hey, don't you understand this parable? How will you understand any parable? And you could read that and think that Jesus was kind of dressing them down. I don't think he was actually doing that. I think he was coaching them rather than rebuking them. He was trying to teach them, hey, this is how to think about what I've just said, and you'll be able to use that when you hear the rest of the things I'm going to say as I go around Galilee and around Jerusalem. And sometimes I think the tone of Jesus is important. We don't get that in the words, but that's how I choose to hear this one. But before we move into Jesus' explanation of the parable, I want to highlight just a couple things in the verses that we just read, because I think they're pretty important. So the first is this word farmer that was in verse 3. You know, a farmer went out to sow the seed. And that's what it says in the NIV. And I used NIV because it's kind of what we use here. It's in, you know, if you pulled the Bible out from under the seats, that's the version that you're going to see. But what's interesting is that many other versions render that word as sower. And I think that's actually a little more accurate. The Greek word is spiero. I'm not a Greek speaker, so I might not have pronounced that quite right. But there's a different Greek word for farmer that Jesus uses elsewhere. And so spiro means to sow or to spread seed. And I think that's important to the story. So I'm going to use sower for the rest of our time this morning, and that'll matter later. The other thing I want to talk about is found in verse 8, where Jesus talks about the good soil. You know, he says it yields 30 or 60 or 100-fold what was planted. Is anybody here a farmer? We have any farmers? Okay. Oh, we got Lynn, you're a farmer. Yes, thank you. I am not a farmer. You know, I do a little vegetable garden, but I've never tried to grow wheat or barley or any of the things that they typically grew in first century Israel. So I don't know, is a 30-fold yield good or not? Well, you know, some of you know I'm an engineer. And guess what? Engineers like math. and they like research, and they like data. So I did some research, and I did some math. There's no calculus involved. It'll be easy. But here's what I found out. So I looked at some state agricultural cooperative websites, and it turns out that the average yield for modern wheat farming is about 24 to 1. So for every wheat seed that gets planted in the ground, you get 24 kernels at harvest time. Now, obviously, there's variation in that, right? Depends on the kind of wheat, depends on the season, depends on the rain, all of those things. But the national average is 24 to 1. And barley, which was also popular in early Israel, is about 29 to 1. So it's similar, right? Now remember, that's using these giant combines, it's using genetically engineered seed, you know, fertilizer, scientific farming methods and principles and all that stuff. So keep that number in your mind, 24 to 1. Okay, great, so that's today. Well, how about 2,000 years ago? You know, you'd think they probably couldn't get quite the same yield, and you'd be right. It's really, really hard to get a good number, but some archaeologists have tried to figure this out because it's important to figuring out how people lived long ago, and the number's about half. So, you know, you get 13 to 1. And that's, you know, manual farming, manual plowing, manual harvesting, all right, old-style seeds, all that sort of stuff. Okay, so let's go back to the parable. So a 30-fold harvest, the smallest number that Jesus talked about, that is more abundant than we can do today with our best equipment and our best science. It would have been an incredible harvest for the people who were hearing him preach and tell this parable 2,000 years ago. And, you know, a 60x harvest or a 100-fold harvest, that would be like going to work and having your boss say, you know, you've been doing a really good job, I'm going to triple your salary. Okay. Right? That would be a miracle, right? We'd all be calling up our friends and going, praise God with me. I just got this amazing bonus at work. Or you know, investing in the stock market and getting 150% return without crypto, right? That's what we're talking about here. So, you know, don't just let that 30, 60, 100-fold thing kind of wash over, because what Jesus is talking about here is a supernatural return or a supernatural harvest. Okay, so he's telling a parable. He's not actually talking about farming, and he's talking about a supernatural harvest. So what kind of seed would give a harvest like this? Well, Jesus tells us, right? Right there in verse 14, it's the Word. The Word of God is the only kind of seed that can yield this kind of abundance. And that's the point that he's making. More than you can get out of any grain that they knew about at the time that Jesus was telling the parable. But here's the other thing. It can only yield that abundance in people. That's what Jesus goes on to explain. Now, does everybody yield this amazing harvest? Well, no, right? That's kind of what Jesus lays out here. In fact, most of the kinds of the people in the parable don't yield any harvest at all, right? Some of them have the word snatched away by the evil one. Some of them fall away when difficulty comes. Others get overtaken by the cares of the world. Only the people represented by the good soil are the ones who bear fruit. But here's the thing. You know, people are a little bit different than farm fields, in case you hadn't noticed that. We can't look at people and tell which ones are the good soil and which ones are rocky ground. Some people might look like, hey, this is somebody who needs to hear the word, right? I'm going to share the word with this person, and boom, great things are going to happen. But they might be hard-packed path. We can't tell, right? Other people we might think are covered in thorns, and they end up yielding 100-fold. So the solution that Jesus lays out is actually really simple if you go back and look at it. The sower is not just keeping the seed in what he thinks is the good soil. He's spreading it everywhere. And he's trusting God to make the seed grow where God wills it. So this idea of sowing the word is often applied to evangelism, and that's a good understanding of it. And it's been used frequently as a message around evangelism and sharing the good news of Jesus with people who haven't heard it. But I also think it's broader than that. You know, as Christians, we get called not only to share the gospel, but also to be salt and light in a pretty dark and lonely world. And, you know, if you talk to any of our missionaries, you know, Jacob and Katie, or Jeff Woods, or any of our missionaries that we're so blessed to have at this church, they will tell you that the most effective way to share the gospel is to get to know the people first. I mean, Jacob and Katie are spending years living in this village, and they didn't just walk in and say, "Here's the gospel, everybody convert," because it doesn't work very well. They're getting to know people. They're living with them. They're developing trust. They're praying for them. They're becoming part of their lives. And that's all part of sowing the word before you ever get to talking about Jesus. So that's a pretty important idea. You know, we can sow the word in the mission field, and we should, right? And I need to get better at that personally. I'll just admit that. But we can also sow the word in our workplace and in our neighborhoods and in our families. You know, sometimes, of course, by sharing the gospel when that opportunity presents itself. But sometimes it's just through loving people, right? So we've got an awesome example here in our church, which is Hope 410. And most people are familiar with this. Hope 410 does so many different things, but one of the big things that Hope 410 does is Free Food Fridays. Just a couple weeks ago, there was a Free Food Friday event, and there were people taking boxes of food out to cars in the middle of a thunderstorm. That ministry serves like 60 or 70 families every 4 weeks. And Darcy and this team are planting seeds in our community, right? Do the people who are getting this food know that they're getting it from a church? Of course they do. They come to this building to get it. Do they know that we're Christians? Yeah, they know we're Christians. But Hope 410 is about loving people where they are and helping them with practical needs. And there's a belief that those seeds will one day bear fruit. And that's, you know, that's why we do that. That's why Darcy does that. That's why the team does that. And that is a beautiful way to plant seeds in our community. So I do have a question, right? I promised I would have some questions for you, and you get a chance to think about a couple of things. So here's the first one. Where have you sown the word in your part of the world? You know, this doesn't have to be going to Papua New Guinea, although that's great if you want to go. It could be, you know, it could be next door. It could be in your classroom. If you're a teacher or a student, it could be in your office. But where are you sowing the word? And, you know, what's an example of that? I'm going to ask you to just take a moment to think about that, but then I'm going to ask you to just turn to the person next to you and share that story with them very briefly. We're just going to take like 2 minutes to do this, right? Because I know sometimes people can get involved in conversation, and that's awesome, but we're just going to do like 2 minutes. So take a moment to think, and then turn to the person next to you and just share how you're spreading the word in your world. Okay. Did everybody get a chance to share something with somebody next to them? Yeah? Great. Okay. All right. I'm going to keep moving. So sowing the word happens in terms of what we normally think of as evangelism. It happens just by being salt and light in the world. But it also takes place in the church. And that can be a little bit maybe of a new thought if you've only ever thought of this parable in terms of a message about straight-up evangelism. But, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, and I think most of us are here, let me ask you a question. Do you still need more of the word in your life? I do. I don't know about the rest of you. Maybe you're way more holy than I am. I need more word, like every day. And so we have the opportunity to sow God's word into each other as the body of Christ. And that's a big part of the reason to come to church and to come to small group and to hang out with other people who are Christians, because we share the word with one another and it helps us become more like Jesus as we go through our lives. You know, there's lots of ways to do this. You know, you can pray for others, you can teach a class, you can volunteer at VBS. That's an awesome way to do it, right? Standing up here and preaching on Sunday morning is sowing the word. And I love doing this. But sowing within our church family can also be really, really simple. I want to show you this. It's a little, I guess you can see it. This is a card that someone in our church gave me on Father's Day. I'm not their dad. But it was just a simple thank you card to thank me for what I do in the church, for the ways in which I lead. And this really touched me. And I'm cracking up a little bit right now. But that's the power of sowing into each other's lives. Simple encouragement, simple thank you for caring for one another, worshiping together. I mean, our worship this morning, we've got an awesome worship team, but you all are part of the worship team too. Did you ever think about that? At a couple points this morning, I just stopped singing and I just listened. And I could hear Alan and Donna and Jamie, but I could hear all of you too. And that was incredible. That's planting the word, right? That's reinforcing it, the truth of God and the power of God within our lives. And I need more of that in my life. And I think we all do. Now, of course, we love to talk about the times when we've seen a harvest from our sowing, right? And so, you know, I've had a great time leading this one story that leads to Jesus study. And it's been, I mean, the response has been amazing. Right, I don't, you know, at one point we had 90 people signed up. I'm actually not sure how many people are still going, but a lot of you are still going, right? That's incredible, right? That's like a really big group of adults and teenagers within our church that are doing this. And by the way, in case, you know, you've been living under a rock or something, we have a halfway party for anybody who's involved with the study right after service today, and it's going to be super fun, so you should be there. Isn't it crazy we're already halfway through the year? Anyway, you should be there. Come if you can. Even if you didn't RSVP, we got plenty of food. But you know what? Jesus said, you know, sometimes when we sow, it doesn't yield that abundant crop. Does anybody remember this study? Yeah, I didn't think so. This is one that I tried to do, an online Bible study that I kicked off at the beginning of 2019. And I think I had like 4 people sign up, including me. So there were 3 people. And, you know, I could have said at that point, well, I guess this church doesn't like online Bible studies. So I guess I'll just stop trying them. If I had done that, we wouldn't have the Bible Project study going right now that we've got going. You know, all I can do, all any of us can do, is keep sowing and let God figure out where the harvest is going to happen and where it's not going to happen. You know, one other thing about sowing that I think is really cool is it's so simple. You don't have to be super educated. You don't have to be really strong. And that's because we're not in charge of the outcome. You know, Jesus told us to sow the word, just like sowers sow the seed. Well, guess what? Farmers will tell you this, Lynn will tell you this, farmers don't make plants grow. They can help plants grow, but they don't make them grow. God does that. And we don't bring the kingdom to life in other people. God does that. Our job is to throw the seed out there and let God figure out where the growth is going to happen. So anybody can do this, right? Do we have any recent confirmation students in the congregation this morning, right? Anybody who we just confirmed a couple of weeks ago? They're probably all at Pilgrim Pines. Good for them. Okay. I was inspired by hearing the confirmation students up here as they were making their commitments to go deeper in their commitment with Jesus. That was really moving to me. You know, and part of, there was a piece inside me that said, well, you know, if those young people can do that, I can do that too. I can recommit myself. And so, you know, confirmands, I want to thank you for sowing the word into my life. And the opportunity to sow the word never ends. 4 weeks ago, Liesl and I were lucky enough to go visit with Pastor Alan Hurl and his wife Charlene. And for those of you who have joined the church, you know, in the last 20 years, Alan Hurl was our senior pastor, and he retired in 2004. But anybody who knows Alan can never forget him. Alan retired from Trinity in 2004, but he has never retired from sharing God's love. He's the same guy in his mid-80s that he was when he was here. We got to go worship at his church when we were out in California, and it was just like watching Pastor Alan again. He knows everybody's name, and he's praying for people, and he's loving on people, and he's still Pastor Alan. And he's still planting seeds. So as we wrap up our time, I want to talk about one last thing, and I think this is pretty significant. You'll note that this is the parable of the sower. It's not the parable of the harvester. And I've touched on this a little bit already. Most of the time, we don't get to see the harvest that comes from our work. You know, Hope 410, that team doesn't get to see the full impact of their ministry to the community. You know, as I'm trying to live as a good follower of God in my workplace, I don't get to know how that impacts everybody I come in contact with. I think that's probably for the best, honestly. I think if we got to see the harvest, we would start gaming the system, right? We'd start trying to get the biggest harvest so that we'd have bragging rights over somebody else who had a smaller harvest. Or, you know, we'd say, hey, yo, look at me. Look how great our church is. Look how great I am. We don't get those bragging rights. God does, right? God gets the glory, and that's okay. But every once in a while, we do get a glimpse of the harvest. And that's where the story that I promised at the start of this message comes in. Some of you, you know, you may remember that I started a recovery group for men here at Trinity back in 2005. And I led that group for about 10 years. And then I passed it off to another guy, and the group is still going. Well, shortly after we started the group, a guy who I'll call Jim joined it. And he came for maybe a year, 18 months. He got what he needed out of the group, and he went on with his life. And I hadn't heard from Jim in 15 years until I got a text message from him a few months ago. He said, "Hey, can I give you a call?"
Sure.
Yeah. So we connected, and I'm like, "Hey, how are you? What's up? What's going on?" Well, Jim was calling to tell me that he had benefited so much from that group that he was now starting up one of his own at his church to help some guys who needed the same thing. He said, "Thank you for leading that group. It changed my life." That is the supernatural harvest. And Jesus offers each of us the opportunity to partner with him in just that way. And I got to tell you, there is nothing in the world like that. You know, one day, I think we will all get to see the full impact of the gospel seeds we have planted. Now, it won't be until we're with Jesus, but I do believe that at some point, the story's going to get told. And that's going to be awesome. We're going to get to find out the impact of every mission trip, of every box of food, of every class, and every prayer, and every tear that's been shed in Jesus' name. But until then, Jesus' message is pretty clear. Keep sowing. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise that it is through the power of your word that lives are changed, that souls are saved. And it's not through our strength or our intelligence, but through you and through the power of the cross that we are brought back to you. And so this morning, maybe a seed that someone planted long ago is growing in you. Maybe you're making the realization that it's time to follow Jesus. And if that's you, simply say this prayer with me. You can say it silently if you like. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for offering a better way. I choose to trust in you today. Help me to walk with you and to live your life. In Jesus' name, amen.